prior to COVID. And here, to finish the task, the IPC mission, the 110 cities we're going to talk about. These are large enterprises. Finish the task. I mean, wow. But I'm not sure that we yet have the right mindset to even answer that. That's kind of where I'm going. What is the mindset required? What have we lacked in church culture? Church paradigms? There's many, many good things for hundreds of years that have been a part of church culture and church paradigms. But are those patterns of thought sufficient at the level of an international invasion of every nation, every tribe and tongue, deeply fortified strongholds of darkness, places like India with 300 billion gods guarding 1.5 billion people, the God of this world having blinded the minds of unbelievers, is having a really great Sunday service going to get us there? Right?
No.
You have to be that blunt about it.
Yeah.
That's truth.
And yet, so much of our energy in church culture is how to have a better Sunday service. And we think that's what it's going to take, which in certain contexts has worked for a long time, which is why we've been able to say it's working, and it's why COVID came along and took away the one thing we thought was working. COVID came along and said, no, you can't even do your Sunday service anymore. And then church culture goes, what do we do? There's 168 hours in the week. If COVID takes away our 2 hours on a Sunday morning, we're kind of lost. We're like, well, let's wait until that's over and they give us our permission back. But there's another model behind that word church is a word called ecclesia. Ecclesia has a very different mindset. Ecclesia has a very different outlook. So I want to talk about dominion for just a few moments to kind of set the stage here. Psalm 72, Canadian sisters, her home nation over Parliament is inscribed the words of Psalm 72. Psalm 72 says this in verse 1. Give to the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. And then it goes down why the royal line needs that. Because there's injustices, there's unrighteousness in the land, there's oppression, there's problems. And so a righteous lineage has to have the strength to overcome oppression. And so Psalm 72 verse 8 concludes that as this messianic prophecy of justice and righteousness and the royal line, the Davidic line, and we know Christ, that Jesus came as the heir, the eternal heir to the Davidic line. It's a prophecy of the Messiah. It says, he shall have dominion from the river to the ends of the earth. In other words, it's picturesque Hebrew poetic language for he's going to have dominion over all of it. From the river to the ends of the earth is all of the earth will come under his dominion. Well, I just want to look at a couple of other passages. I want to give just a few points about dominion. But these are things that you might not have considered within our mission. Is that my phone or what is that? Is that something out there beeping? Oh, okay. That's back here. All right. Peter said, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Jude said, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forevermore. Now, we easily agree with before all time and forevermore. We don't as easily enter into the faith of now. To him be majesty, glory, and dominion, not just in times past, in his eternal glory, in the past and in the future, but now. He's meant to have dominion now. Psalm 110, that the 110 Cities Initiative is based on. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Yeah.
Sit at my right hand until. That word until is the space of now. We're in the now period. From eternal dominion in the past to eternal dominion in the future, the Lord has declared, the Father has declared over the Son, I want you to sit at my right hand until all of creation, all of the earth, until you receive all dominion. Sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Yes.
Well, that's called that Psalm 110. It's the most quoted passage in the New Testament.
Yes.
It's called the Dixit Dominus in Latin. The Lord said that it's the dominion passage, if you will. The great dominion passage. And here's a few observations about dominion that I just want to share with you. Dominion is a core value of the kingdom. I've already looked at that. We looked at 1 Peter 5 and Jude. He shall have dominion. It's a core value of the kingdom. But here's some other things that are maybe not as thought through. Dominion is not partial, but total. The very idea of dominion is totalistic in nature. You don't have partial dominion. You have influence. But dominion is either complete or it's not dominion. If a king has an empire and the boundaries of that empire are under his control, and then an enemy takes a part of the empire, then that part is no longer in his dominion. It's outside of his dominion. So dominion is total or it's nothing.
Yeah.
So, thirdly, while dominion may not be totally realized before Christ returns, the definition of dominion self-assumes the completion of his rule within his domain.
Yes. Yes.
Good. Right?
Well, yep.
And Psalm 72 says, it's from the river to the ends of the earth. Psalm 110 says, until all enemies be made his footstool. Jude says he will have dominion not only in the eternal past and the eternal future, but now. So number four. Well, let me restate number three. Dominion is not completely realized before Christ returns. The definition, nevertheless, self-assumes completion within his domain. So now we have to reestablish what the domain of God is. It is nothing less than the sum of all existence. We're talking in earthly terms, but really this is universal. Every square inch of planet Earth belongs to him. Every planet of every galaxy, of every solar system, of every, the whole thing belongs to him. But certainly here on Earth, every square inch. That means in whatever nation you represent, you can't go anywhere in that nation and say, well, someday this is not ever going to be God's. You can't go anywhere and have the kings of the earth conspire against the Lord and against His anointed, Psalm 2. Let us throw off their restraints, cast off their control. We want no part of it. He who sits in the heavens laughs.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He says, you've got your conspiracy, I've got my answer. You lower kings can determine what you think is under your control, but I've appointed my king on Zion. And the mechanism of His rulership is to ask. The Father tells the Messiah in Psalm 2, ask of me and I'll give you the nations.
Yes.
So what we see in Psalm 2 is not primarily a king who prays, but a priest who rules. And that's why this matters. Because as a family, IPC taking on 110 cities, symbolically connected, quite literally connected, to the mission of Psalm 110. He shall have dominion. And in that space of the present moment, you can look, it's interesting, Hebrews 2, Hebrews 10, 1 Corinthians 15, they all quote the Dixit Dominus, they all quote Psalm 110, but they communicate this tension that while Psalm 110 makes it clear that all dominion has been given, that He doesn't yet have that dominion. It makes it plain that it actually talks about humanity in general and the Messiah in His humanity. The God-man,
yes,
restoring and completing all that Adam lost and the authority that Adam was given in the garden and rulership over creation. And Christ in His victory has secured something that we can say it's done. It's finished.
Yeah.
And yet Scripture holds these things in tensions and says, but it's not yet finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not yet actually done as totally as those passages assure us it is done. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us as the instrument of divine dominion. Dominion is a core value of the kingdom. It's not partial but total. The definition self-assumed completion within His domain, and His domain is every square inch of earth and sky in all dimensions. Those must eventually become either subservient to or vanquished by. That's what dominion looks like, right? To achieve victory over. And so how in the in-between, when He has achieved a victory that has not yet been manifested, where does the manifestation happen? Well, it says, Psalm 115, the heaven are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. It says in Psalm 8, what is man? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You have given Him dominion over the work of your hands. So, if it says, the Lord said to my Lord, it's in either Hebrews 2 or Hebrews 10, or 1 Corinthians 15, can't remember which now. It says, if He's been made to sit at the right hand of the Father until every enemy is made His footstool, if He's sitting at the right hand of the Father until, and the time we live in, the now time, is the until period. And the dominion that He speaks of has been given into our hands. Then are we waiting on Him or is He waiting on us? And you can talk about a premillennial framework, a postmillennial framework. There's all kinds of eschatological models. You can talk about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. I have a high Christology and a high sovereignty. And I believe in God's sovereignty, He has done something that we have to settle. In God's sovereignty and in the exalted supremacy of Christ, He is determined that there are things that only He can do, and we cannot do what only He can do. But He will not do what He has sovereignly decided He wants us to.
Amen.
That's good. That's good.
Amen. You got it.
So we cannot do His part, but He will not do ours. And if He has sovereignly decided to put dominion in our hands on the earth, then we are not waiting for Him to achieve total dominion. The dominion, the authority of that dominion is His part. Well, Jesus made that real clear. All authority has been given to me. Now, what's your part? Go. So we can't do His part. The authority comes from Him. He will not do ours. So when the Son came, all these promises and prophecies pointing to that man, Isaiah 9 said, a child will be born. To us a child will be born. And it actually strengthens it. It says, actually a son must be given. Why? Because the dominion of a king is a matter of lineage.
Yeah.
That totalistic idea of dominion is also generational. In other words, a king's throne is only as strong as his lineage. If a king doesn't have a son to carry on his name and his authority, then enemies will encroach on that kingdom in the very next generation or the generation after that. So there has to be a line that is perpetual and eternal in the same measure of authority.
Yeah.
So the Father promises humanity, I'm going to give the Son.
Yeah.
He's going to sit on David's throne forever. And He'll bring a government with Him. That's what it says. A son must be given and the government will rest on His shoulders. Well, this is why it matters that we shift from church thinking to ecclesia thinking. Because when Jesus in Matthew 16 is recognized as that guy, that's what Peter basically says. Jesus says, who am I? Peter goes, you're the Genesis 3:1 that will step on the serpent's head. You're the Psalm 2 king who is given. You're the Psalm 110 ruler at the right hand of the Father. You're the Isaiah 9 son who's given, who will bring a government. You're the eschatological Lord of history. You're the one we've been waiting for. Yeah. The desire of all nations. The promised ruler of history. You're that guy, right? And Jesus says, Peter, this isn't just you figuring this out. This is actually a true moment of revelation. My Father's revealed this to you. You are seeing me as my Father sees me. And so now that you know who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are. And He says, I'm going to build my... And we have put in the English word church because King James insisted on it. There were reasons for that. I'm not going to go into that. But the root word, ekklesia, is far more robust. Far more potent. And for over 400 years at the time of Christ, the ecclesia meant the ruling council of the city-states. All over the Greco-Roman world, for over 400 years, they had ecclesias in every city. And the ecclesia determined the law, the policy. They said, we're going to war, we're judging this criminal act, we're appointing these officials. In other words, the ecclesia had jurisdictional authority.
Yes.
Now I'm not trying to talk at a human level saying we're establishing a theocracy. Jesus actually defined the scope of that. He said, I'm forming my ecclesia. We have to hear it that way. Because when we hear I will build my church, we fall into 500 years of the pattern of trying to create a really good Sunday service. Okay, so Jesus is going to help me build a really good Sunday service. He's going to help you, you know, figure out the three songs and how to pass the tithe plate in a more effective way, and how to have a 5-point sermon that is really rememberable. I'm not trying to treat that lightly. I'm just saying, what does that have to do with dominion? What does that have to do with bringing the earth into alignment with the eternal purpose of God in Christ? So Jesus said, I am that guy, and I'm inaugurating my government. And it actually involves keys of the kingdom of heaven, binding and loosing, assaulting the gates of Hades. It's actually immersing us in the intercessory role, the priestly role of Psalm 2. Talk to my Father about what matters to me, and ask for nations.
Yes.
Wherever there's a hard, dark place, I want my government right there. Mm-hmm. I want people praying right there.
Yes.
I want to establish outposts of heaven wherever there's an outpost of hell. Mm-hmm. We look for the most favorable piece of real estate to plant a church. Jesus said, I want you to look for the most unfavorable piece of real estate and plant an outpost. So this is the mission of Psalm 110. Find every hard, dark place. Well, we did. We found 110 of them. They have over 90% of the unreached people groups. They have the infrastructure. They have movement in them. They have traction. But we want to bring this mentality of the dominion of Christ, and that we are the instruments of that dominion in our intercession. That we actually have been delegated the authority to pray, Thy kingdom come.
Yes.
On earth as in heaven. And the principalities and powers in those territories, we see them as they are. They are illegitimate squatters.
Yep.
Occupying territory that has been wrested from their control in the victory of the cross, but because he has given dominion into the hands of man, we can't do his part and he will not do ours. They will persist as squatters until we deliver eviction notices.
Right.
Come on.
So in intercession, we can identify the principalities and powers, and we can strip them. Ephesians 3, the ecclesia has been positioned to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God in heavenly places. He has exalted humanity in the authority Adam lost. The first Adam gave it away. The last Adam did it all right. And he died in innocence, rose in glory, ascended to the right hand of the Father. You have to think, there is a Jewish man right now in heavenly places. That means heaven is not foreign to humanity. It's natural to us. The bridge between dimensions has been solved. The gap has been removed. We need to be done with this mentality that the heavens are brass and we're trying to figure out how to break through. No, the enemy is resisting in certain dimensions, but he actually occupies a lower realm. He's been cast out of the highest heaven, and we've been seated with Christ in that dimension. We aren't trying to break through. We are commanding from a higher place. You no longer have permission in Varanasi. You no longer have permission in Lagos. You no longer have permission in Dubai. You no longer have permission in Calcutta.
That's right.
And when we do that, he actually smiles on that. That's not presumption. That's like after 500 years of building the Sunday service, let's build the kingdom. In every hard, dark place, let's manifest the wisdom and the triumph of Christ in our intercession. We ask in agreement with the Psalm 2 command. The Father said to the Son, ask of me, I'll give you the nations. That's what we're doing.
Preach it, brother.
Come on, man.
sounds like something to run ministries together.
Wow.
Dean has got a book for us that he wrote.